As I was gathering some thoughts about today's readings last week, I found myself focusing on our epistle reading for today, which we will pretend Mary just read. I was focusing on the letter to the Galatians and also on the upcoming Independence Day holiday. And I started thinking about the many connotations that have that these words, freedom and liberty, have taken on over the years, and how complicated these concepts are. So it seemed to me that it might be worthwhile spending a little time in reflection on what freedom means to us and how God is calling us to use the freedom that we have been given both as Americans and as Christians. Freedom, of course, is the core of our understanding of democracy in America and of America's role in the world. It rings throughout our history in the words of Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In the words of Abraham Lincoln in the Emancipation Proclamation, declaring that all persons held as slaves within said designated states are and henceforward shall be free. In the words of Franklin Roosevelt in a State of the Union address, proposing a world order founded upon four essential freedoms: freedom of speech and expression, freedom of every person to worship God in his own way, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. And in the words of Martin Luther King, Jr., on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, dreaming of a day when all of God's children will be able to join hands and sing, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." And this is only a sampling of the words that tell the story of freedom in our country. But lest we get carried away with our own heritage, I think we would do well to remember that freedom is more than a core value of the still relatively young American democracy. Freedom is a reflection of the human spirit, and it is as old as human history. And it is not a human invention. It comes from the heart of God. We remember that long before the birth of Jesus, the Hebrew people were suffering under bondage in Egypt when God sent Moses to demand of Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And when Pharaoh refused to lead God's people into freedom, then 1,000 years later, Jesus came, announcing to a people living under the tyranny of Roman occupation that he had been anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring good news to the poor and to proclaim release to the captives and to let the oppressed go free. Now, it took St. Paul to put all this into historical and theological perspective, and to explain how Jesus, the new Moses, leads us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into the freedom of new life, and how this new life is grounded not only in freedom from, but also in freedom for, and how to live into this new life together. Getting the churches of his day to understand all of this was no easy task for Paul. And the Galatians are a good example. Some of them, apparently believed that freedom meant that they could do as they pleased. They could do as they pleased because their spirits had been set free from the material world, and what they did and how their actions affected those around them mattered very little. After all, God in Christ had already done everything that was necessary for their salvation, so there was no need for them to try to earn salvation through good works or through obedience to a set of do's and don'ts. Others, on the other hand, were afraid to take any chances, so they clung to the religious rituals and rules as a kind of insurance policy. But the fact was that neither group was actually free. Neither understood that observing or not observing the religious rules and rituals was irrelevant, because rules and rituals did not work when it came to establishing a right relationship with God. Neither group understood that what really counts, the only thing that counts, is love. Until they understood that, their freedom was at best imperfect and incomplete, and they were still in bondage. Paul addressed the Galatians' lack of understanding head on. He said, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. You were called to freedom. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In other words, Paul was saying the only way to break away from the old worldly ineffective securities is to give yourselves away in loving service to others, to commit yourselves fully to one another, and to put their needs above your own. We who live in the land of the free, 2,000 years later, may find the divisions within the church in Galatia as remote as the political, cultural, and religious environment in which that church existed. Moreover, freedom is such a familiar concept to Americans that we tend to take it for granted. Yet sadly, we live in an age when the concept of freedom in many instances has devolved into a kind of selfish freedom. Freedom from all responsibility to others. Freedom to pursue one's own ambitions and desires without regard for anyone but oneself. Freedom to choose whatever brings the greatest satisfaction and personal reward. Freedom to live on one's own terms. Is this the concept of freedom on which our nation was founded and which drew our ancestors to these shores? Is this the idea that causes people to risk their lives every day to cross our borders without proper documentation and make a new life? Is this what we mean when we sing, "Let freedom ring"? Or is freedom just a convenient word for justifying whatever it is we want to do? If it is, then the view of freedom presented by St. Paul offers us and the world around us a better vision, a more excellent way. Now, this vision that St. Paul offers is not the same as the ideal of freedom enshrined in our Constitution, and it is not for us here today to impose this view on our fellow citizens whose religious liberty is as precious as our own. But this does not mean that we have nothing to say about freedom in the public square. Indeed, I believe the opposite is true. I believe we are called to witness to the difference between freedom from and freedom for, to witness to the transformation that occurs in human lives and in the communities in which we live when we live out the love of God in the love of neighbor. This is an ideal, to be sure, just as political freedom is an ideal. And like the would-be disciples in today's gospel reading, we all have circumstances and influences and limitations that keep us from breaking away. And few of us ever really succeed. But this is the path God calls us to take. And by God's grace, we find the strength and courage to take the risk of pursuing it. For just as Jesus taught that those who try to make their life secure will lose it, but those who lose their life will keep it, St. Paul shows us that to be perfectly free is to be bound to one another by the law of love. Judge Learned Hand was for many years chief judge of the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, and he is generally considered to have been one of the most influential jurists never to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. Judge Hand once gave a speech at an I Am an American Day event in New York's Central Park. And the speech is known as the Spirit of Liberty speech. In it, Judge Hand spoke about how the spirit of liberty is found in our hearts, not in a physical location or within any documents. One passage from the speech is often quoted, and when you hear it, I think you'll agree for good reason. It goes like this. The spirit of liberty is the spirit which is not too sure that it is right. The spirit of liberty is the spirit which seeks to understand the minds of other men and women. The spirit of liberty is the spirit which weighs their interests alongside its own without bias. The spirit of liberty remembers that not even a sparrow falls to the earth unheeded. The spirit of liberty is the spirit of him who nearly 2,000 years ago taught mankind that lesson it has never learned but has never quite forgotten, that there may be a kingdom where the least shall be heard and considered side by side with the greatest. As we celebrate Independence Day 2013, may we all be guided by this spirit. In the name of the one whose service is perfect freedom.